Because if you analyze in Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, so there the Pasuk starts from. Pasuk reads, Toiv Mare Enayim Me Haloch Nefesh Dam Zehevel Ruz Ruach. Now, we leave that open for a moment, what it means. But then you go to Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph. Tov Shem Hashem and Tov Yom HaMoves Miyom Rivaldo. Tov Dolech HaBeis Eved Melech HaBeis Mishre. It's like, Kola Odom HaChayit Naliva. Tov Kaas Mishkoit. Yivoroi Apon In Yitzhak Lev. Then Pasuk Hei. Tov Lishmo Gar HaSochem Yitzha Meir Shek Silem. Pasuk Ches. Tov Achisom Mereshiso. Tov Erch. Ruach Mikvar Ruach. Was geht all auf Teufel kaufen und nachholen. So, there seems to be a thrust over here to define Teufel. What is Teufel? So, really, if we analyze Pasuk Tes and Perek Vav, the one which apparently begins the Toiv series. So then there's the interruption of Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. And then the Toiv picks up again in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. So what's going on here? So Toiv Mare Enayim Mehaloch Nofesh is something which he types of as being Hevel Ru'us Ruach. Now what does it mean? Toiv Mare Enayim Mehaloch Nofesh. So, Pasuk, it's a continuation of the Pasuk one earlier. Kolamal Olam Lefiyo, Gamma Nefesh Simole, we talked about that last week. Toiv Mare Enayim Mehaloch Nofesh. What the eye sees is always much, much more than in terms of Gashmis, in terms of what the eye wants. Ayin Choymed, Ayin Royev, Alev Choymed. The eye is always very open. The eye sees, this guy's got this, this guy's got that, so I would like it too. And many times the eye sees things which are not matim at all, which are not suitable for the halach nefesh, for the way in which the person should be going. This may be a very nice thing, but it's not a good thing for you at all. It'll mess you up. Dam zehevel l'ruz ruach. It's a problem, right? The fact that people constantly see, and they constantly want what they see. I mean, the eye is an extremely effective salesman. Looks nice, so you want it. So, he sees that as a hevel and a rusua. That is sort of a final pasuk to a section of the Megillah, because if you look at the next few psukim, what do you see? Let's just read them and see whether you recognize what has to be recognized here. Ma shehoyo kvar nikra shemoy v'noida ashehu odam v'la yucha lodin im shatakev mimeno yesh dvorim harve mavim hover ma yoysa lo odam. What do you see in these children? What's the thrust of these psukim? Where are they heading? Anybody want to risk a guess? You recognize something. Well, really, just looking at the word, you see that the three psukim among them contain every one of the elements of the opening of the Megillah. אבל הוולם אמר קהלס, אבל הוולם הכל הובל, מה יסרוין לאודם, כל המולוי שיאמר תחת השמש. Right? That was the opening question. Opening question with which Kehelis began the Megillah was he asked, מה יסרוין לאודם בכל המולוי שיאמר תחת השמש, זה ציוריהם. מה שהויות כבר נקרא שמוי, ונוידע שהוא אודם. Right? אודם, מה יסרוין לאודם, לא יוכל לודן אם שעתקת ממנה. You see what the title of the pasuk soon. יש דבורם הבין מהבין הובל. מה יויסר לאודם, right? מה יסרוין לאודם. We had at the beginning of the Megillah, right? מי יודע מה טוב לאודם החי מישראל החי יהב לו את. ויעשם קצר לשם יג לאודם מה יהיה אחר תחס השומש, right? מה יסרו לאודם בכל המולה שיאמר תחס השומש. In other words, the psukim over here seem to be picking up the theme from the beginning of the Megillah. Now, what's been happening is that Kohelet has been asking a great number of questions in these first six psukim of the Megillah. A lot of problems. We've isolated many of them. What are we striving for? What's society about? What are my relations with my children? With the future, with the past? What's the use of wealth? What's the function of wisdom? How do I relate to people? What's the relationship of the governed to the governing people? There are many, many problems which Kehelis was asking. Remember that we don't chat in the Megillah that we the whole Tosfos of the Megillah was to find out the right way to serve Hashem, der Yirah. In contrast to Shiashirim, he was trying to find out how to serve Hashem, der Ahava, so that Kehelis is trying to find out how to serve Hashem, der Yirah. And that is an enormously important function of Avodah of Yirah, is to not shut in the world. The Ohev is somebody who is divorced from the world. The Ohev is Kikoilas Ava, like the Rambam says, is Shoike V'Avas Oise Isha Shoike V'Tonet, like he's in Gans Narangeton in a different world. That's the pshat of the Ava. There's a discussion between his soul and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he doesn't know anything about his body. Yore has a job to do, he's an Eved. Right, so he high on Everett, and he's going to say, oh, I love my master so much, I don't even know what's going on. Yeah, not a very good Everett. Everett's there, he's got to find out what you have to do. What are the jobs that need doing? What are the tools which are required for doing it? How do you set about doing it? But Yashirim is not concerned with analyzing society and the world and the functions of the individual and the rabbin. These are all the things which don't concern. Shlomo Melech when he's writing Shir Shirim. There is a Cholas Ava, and all he does is to sing of his love to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So he has to find out what's doing. And he came up with a lot of problems. The answers to those problems, the solutions to the problems, come here in Perek Zayin. Tov Shem Hashem and Tov is the beginning of the answer. You see that from Perek Zayin onwards, doesn't ask questions anymore. But forget, he's Megale, the secret of the whole Megillah. He's Megale where the answers lie, where the real true answers lie to the questions which he's been asking. And as we would expect, if it's true that Megillah can be divided into two parts like that, that up to Perek Zayin is asking questions by and large, from Perek Zayin onward, it's giving the answers. So it's not surprising that the last few psukim of Perek Vov should restate the problem. In other words, like you started asking the kasha at the beginning, Ma Yisrael Le'odem V'Cholamola Shiyamal Tachas HaShamesh. We touched that pasuk often enough, we don't have to go into that again. So now, he rounds up that question again. And the Hakdama to that question is the first of the Sidra of Toiv, right? All the Toivs which we saw in Perek Zayin now. They begin over here. Toiv Mare Enayim Mehalach Nofesh. But that's a bad kind of Toiv. Right? So, as it were, like the final analysis which Kahelas made when he looked around the world, he saw that here is the root of all bad things that happen. This constant contradiction between what I see and what I have. What I see, what I want, what I see and what I need. It's always dissatisfaction, it's always striving for more. Gam ha-nefesh lo'y simole. Like that was sort of the last problem which he had. And from that he's going to go to Perek Zayin, and he's going to say, my friend, you have it all wrong. Toiv is not what the Enayim see. Toiv is the shame. Toiv, shame, Mishemen, Toiv, whatever that means. And then it's going to go into a whole series of where the real Toiv lies, in contradistinction to the Toiv of the Toiv Mare Enayim Mehalach Nofesh. After he's posed this final problem, the final observation of the way the world looks to him, he sums up the basic issues again. The Mashahoyo Kvar Nikra Shemayim, that the past is given. Right? Shemayim, the shame, touches up the thing as it is. The Noida Shehu Adam. This human being is an Adam. What is an Adam? So in the first place, the Adam, Adam is a lump of earth, is a gonad. And in that first and most basic meaning, lo yuchal lo denim shatakev mimenu. Whom's he going to fight? He can't fight Siri Hod. Right? In other words, if Adam is taka ofa minu Adama, if that's what he is, so then there's no way that he can break out of that shell. Ki yesh devorim harbe mabim hevel. Remember what we said, hevel. Hevel is the tzimtzum. Hevel is the impossibility of growing. Hevel is the being locked into a certain pattern. I've got these abilities, I've got these kaychas, I can't go beyond them. That's how we defined Hevel at the beginning of the Megillah. So there's so much that weighs down on a person. Pharaoh said, Tifbat ha'avoda. Don't let them think. Don't let them get anywhere. Let's keep them the way they are. And Tachas HaShemesh, there's a lot of problems. The Dvorim Rabin Mabin Hevel, the constant asek, the constant things that keep us busy, with Dvorim, where we'd be inclined to call them Dvorim Shel Mabukah, but they're not Dvorim Shel Mabukah at all, they're not unimportant things, they're important things. Many things that need doing. But when I keep on chasing after the things that need doing, so the aggregate result of that is Hevel. Because I never get around, as I keep on chasing around in circles, doing important things, doing this, doing that, doing the other, but never touching myself at a level where the Hevel cycle can be broken, where I can touch that part of my being where growth is possible. Ma yoyse l'odam. So what's going to be? How is this Adam going to be geyoysed? Right? How is this Adam going to be developed? Ma yisroin lo Adam v'chol amol ha'shiyam atahas ha'shamesh. Because how did we touch Adam over there? That it's true that Adam is called Adam because it's ofa min ha'adamah. But what did the Maharal say? What aspect of Adamah is there in Adam? It's true that as it is, he's a worthless cloud of earth, but there's the infinite potential of Adamah there too, right? The Adamah is the ground of everything. It's thing which supports everything, it's the thing which produces everything. It's got infinite potential. All life ultimately comes out of the earth. So that's this Adam. This is this unbelievable Adamness. So, but that Adam has to be developed. Titus asked at the beginning of the Megillah, Ma Yisrael in the Adam, Bechol Amol HaShiyam Al Tachas HaShomesh, Moisar HaAdam in HaBehema, Oyen, Ki HaKoyl Hover, right? Remember the Behema was Boh Ma, the Behema was that which contains its entire potential in itself, that's what it is. The animal never becomes more than just what it is, so it's a Boh Ma, it's a Behema, and there's supposed to be a Yisrael in the Adam. Before Kahelas bemoaned the fact that Umaysar Ha'odam in Abhema, Oyen. Yakoil Hover, when everything is Hever. So there is no Yisroin, the Odam B'chalamol HaShiyam El Tachas HaShomesh, right? If his work is zeroed in on Tachas HaShomesh. That's the next pasuk. Ki mi yodea ma toiv lo Odam B'chayim, mitzvah yimei chaye hevloi. Yasem katzel. That's an unbelievable thing. And it's a very, very sobering thought. You're a mitzvah, you may chaye hevloi. People live quite a choshev chunk of time. Lechal Baruch Hashem. Bigger eternity, so 120 years isn't so much. Neshna Sein Abraham, Shirim Shona, Vibhuraz Shemayim Shona. But it's a hefty chunk. And what a horrible thing it is, if you look at that, as a tzeil, as a passing shadow, not to leave a mark. Everybody wants to leave a mark. It's the most basic drive in a person. Every person wants to matter, wants to matter to somebody. But if it's a chayim of hevel, if it's a chayim of non-development, so then he doesn't leave a mark, then his life is like a tzeil. Yasem katzel. Asher miyagid la'odam ma'yir acharav. Yeah, what comes after the tzel? Certainly not the tzel's concern. The tzel didn't touch anything, right? The tzel flits over the surface. And while it's there, it's there. And after it's gone, it's gone. And before it wasn't anticipated, and after it didn't miss. In a moment, and that's it. Tachas HaShamash. Right? See, that's where the secret lies. If we're talking about a life that is lived, Tachas HaShamash. Now, there you have a very, it would have been a depressing summary of the problem if it weren't for the fact that right, the next pasuk swings into a solution. But the problem without the solution is a depressing problem, sure it is. And that's why people go around thinking that nobody ever gets past the first pasuk. So, like, Kahelas, you get depressed when you learn Kahelas. It's a sad sefer, it's a sobering sefer, it's a serious sefer. It's a sobering sefer, sure, because it puts very, very clearly the responsibilities that devolve on a person. It makes it very clear that a person who just lives stamkach is not going to get very far. He's going to be a tzeil. Going to be an inhibited, non-growing behemoth, really. Moshe Adam and behemoth. Oh yeah. But Baruch Hashem, it's not a depressing sefer at all. It's a very, very upbeat sefer. It's a sefer which is full of simcha, because it tells us how to go about it. It tells us that all these things are only when life is lived tachas Hashem. You live it in a way in which you allow the Shemesh, which you remember we learned many times, and the Sefer symbolizes the Shlita of Olam Hazeh, and if you allow Olam Hazeh to dictate the thrust of your life, where you're heading, what you're doing, what's important, what's not important, what matters, what doesn't matter, but if you allow the Shemesh to dictate to you what you're going to do with your life, then you're in bad shape. So חז"ל המדייק מפסוק, עד מן ישראל לעוד המכל המול שיעמל תחס השמש, חז"ל צא, תחס השמש אין ישראל, אבל למעלה מן השמש יש ישראל. Now what it means, if, it depends by what criteria you live your life. So, the problem, the way he posed the problem was mitzat Hashem, right? Masha hayok v'nikro shemo v'noida asher hu adam. Now the question which he posed was that he felt that his destiny was determined by his name. The Torah was kaveya that his name was Adam, that he was Shemoy Adam. So, Kvanoida Shemoy, Ashehu Adam. Lo yukha lodo nim shetaket mimeno. That's the cry of despair. How can a clod of earth fight that which is so much stronger than you? We all know that really those kaifas in ourselves, in society, in the world in which we live, which try to drag us away from doing what we ought to be doing, are very, very, very strong kaifas, right? I mean, there's an enormous magnetism, an enormous pull to all those things which tell us not to be the way Hashem wants us to be. You see, that the Shacham says that the Rabbi Hashem put us in this world, which is more than Nisyonos. It's a big milchama, very big milchama. And if the person considers himself a cloud of earth, he's Mashahoyo Kvanikro Shemoya, which is Adam, then Itaki can't be Lodun in Mishataki Mimena. So, what to do if I'm in the clutches of forces which are so overpoweringly strong? So how can I take a struggle out of that? What can I do about it? So the person comes along and says, you're very wrong. Toiv shem, shem and toiv, yom hamoves, yom yivaldat. In other words, that what you saw as the root of your problems, Ashenikra Shemo Odom, right? That what you saw, that there's a shame Odom attached to you, which in your question, you felt sort of hemmed in by it, by thinking that the shame Odom implies a worthlessness, a nothingness. It's fakir. Toif shame in the shem and toif. That shame and be a lot better than Shem and Tov. What's the comparison between shame and Shem and Tov? Rashi says, because what is Shem and Tov? Shem and Tov is a perfume. Perfume. Is it Mila'el or Mila'ra? How do you pronounce it? Is it perfume or perfume?
Perfume.
Okay. So Shem and Tov is perfume, which is supposed to smell beautifully. What do? You uncork the bottle and the place smells nice. But how far does the bouquet spread, right? How far you? Maybe you can make the whole room look nice if you smell nice, if you have one of those aerosol cans. But that's about it. So there's a very clearly defined limit to how far the fragrance of the perfume can spread. That's what the Novi is saying. Toiv shem, mishem and toiv. Right? In that name Adam, there's a greater degree of toiv built in than there is in shem and toiv. You thought, or you think, that the shame Adam condemns you to a life of frustrated inhibitions, right? In other words, that you're mitzumtzum and you can't get out of the particular framework within which you were created. Well, it's not that way. Toiv shame is shem and toiv. And that shame lies in much, much greater potential than lies in shame and terror. The spreading ability of the shame is much greater than that of the spreading ability of shame and terror. Because the shame and terror can spread only as far as the, wherever it is that smell is carried. Shame has no limits. Interesting, Maharal. You know, the mission says that the Shloisha Ksorim Hem, Kesa Kone, Kesa Teure, Kesa Malchus, Kesa Kone, Kesa Kone, what's it say there? Kesa Kone, Kesa Malchus, Kesa Teure. The Kesa Shem Teuf, Eile Al Gabeyan. That's in the Mishnah. So, Maharal notices that each one of those ksorim is merumas in the Mishkan of the three ksorim, right? Kesa kahuna is the zeh on the mizbeach. The mizbeach had a zeh, had a crown on it. That's merumas to the kesa kahuna. Kesa malchus is on the shulchan, the zeh on the shulchan. Shulchan is wealth, panosa, that's malchus. So there's a crown in the kesa migdash, which is meramis to the Kesa Malchus. Kesa Teura is the Zeh on the Oran. The Kesa Teura. The Maharal asks, why isn't there something in the Mishkan which is meramis to the Kesa Shem Teuf? The Mishnah says that the Gimel Ksorim Hem and the Kesa Shem Teuf is Oila Al Gabeyan. You'd expect that in the Beis HaMikdash there should also be a Keli which is meramis to the Kesa Shem Teuf. Maharal brings a medrash, which later on he wonders whether the medrash really exists, but the Maharal brings a medrash which says that the menorah is the shem toiv in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the whole story, which is not Magel and Yoneinu now, why dafka the menorah is meramis on the Kesa shem toiv. But the Maharal asks the kasha, so why doesn't it have a zeh? In other words, just like the other kelim, which are merames on kahuna, malchus, and teura, have a zeh, a crown, which is merames to the kesa of kahuna and of malchus and of teura. Why doesn't the neuro have a zeh? But it says because the zeh, if it would have a zeh, that would imply a limit. In other words, the crown is this size. So make it a big zeh, so it's a big crown. But beyond that, it's not there. It says the whole mahus of shem toiv is that it doesn't have any limits at all. In other words, if the menorah would have a zeh to describe the kesa of the shem toiv, that would imply that there's some kind of limit to it, that there's a point beyond which it doesn't go. Toiv shem is shem and toiv. The shame which a person has, potential of his growth, the potential of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, which lies in his Adamness, is absolutely limitless. And Mele, to be mitzamtzem that, even in a symbolic zeh, on the menorah would have been a distortion. It's not true. There are no limits at all. Adam can be very, very great. So, that's very nice, but how does one accomplish that? In other words, that was my problem. My problem was, how do I live a kind of life where my Odom does develop into something? The kasha had been, you can't be Odom and Shetakit Memeno. How do I fight my sinus? How do I fight those inhibiting factors which make it hard to be an Elohim, which make me want to do Averas, which make me want to do things which are bad or wrong? So how do I stop myself from doing them? How do I fight? How do I become the kind of Adam who can turn his earthness, his Adamness, into the infinite potential of which Kehelas is talking? He says, and that's the sequence of the Psukim now. Toiv yom hamoves yom hivoldo. Toiv alech zel beis evim, alech zel beis mishter. This is where Kohelet unveiled his secret. That is the avoider of Yirah. The avoider of Yirah has to come to grips with the idea of death, has to come to grips with the idea of dying. That's what Yirah is all about. Now, it doesn't have to be a morbid fear. It doesn't have to be a depressing kind of fear. Contrary, if it does become that, then it's very counterproductive. But what it does have to be is a healthy awareness of what life is all about. Realization that it's not limitless. Certain time span doesn't go beyond that. There's a lot to do. You have to be serious about doing it. These are nice, healthy machshavas. The person's got to be aware of them. See, what is this idea of being aware? What does it mean that Yoin HaMorves is better than the Yoin Hivolda? Well, you see, what is toiv really? What does toiv mean? When you talk about something, if something is toiv. So if you spell toiv, you think of toiv as something which is absolutely good. That's what toiv is. We have to take the word at its most absolute expression. And the most absolute expression of toiv is something which is absolutely toiv. Right? So if it's absolutely toiv, it has to be something which is mufka from death and dying and disintegration. Because obviously, something which is subject to death and dying and disintegration is not toiv. It has a built-in chesaron about it, right? As a built-in problem. It's not permanent. So if it's the kind of thing which can ultimately disintegrate, so then its toivness is limited. If we take toiv in its absolute sense, in other words, something which is absolutely toiv, so something which is absolutely toiv is only something which is beyond dying. Something that's beyond dying. Interesting, Futnas El Sadevacha said an interesting thought in the Hesped, which he said on Rosh Hashivas El Sadevacha, on the Ravan Kotler, said in his Hesped that mentioned the halacha, that you're not supposed to ein oinim this palel by mitzvah. You're supposed to be mispal mitzach simcha. So the halacha is, like, what's simcha? What are you supposed to be doing before davening? What ought you to be doing before davening? It's either Torah, or mitzach divrei Torah, or what's a paskin that you're oisig b'tzoche tzibur. You're doing in tzoche tzibur, that's also something mitzach which you can daven. That's a funny thing. What does that mean? So that's something that is simcha inspiring to the extent that you can daven mitoich tzochet tzibur. I would say that tzochet tzibur is the most stressful kind of activity you can possibly imagine. Right? What did the Yeshua say? Adoni Moshe. So what's so happy about Tzochet Tzibur? So from the touched up that the Maila of Tzochet Tzibur is that the Tzibur is Mufka from Nisa. Right? Tzibur doesn't die, and Tzibur makes. See, whatever you do, if you do Chasodim to an individual, or you do something which has to do with Yechidim, with Yochid, So you're helping him, that's beautiful. But there's always a nagging shear of frustration in that. It's got a limit, it's got an end. Tzibur doesn't die, yeah? Particular Yechidim which make up the Tzibur died, next Yechidim will carry on. Ain't Tzibur nation. That's why it's Sochei Tzibur is a source of undiluted simcha. It doesn't have the inhibition of worrying about death. So Toiv is something only which is absolutely good. And absolutely good is only something which doesn't die. So the Yoin Hamoves is a lot better than the Yoin Hivoldo, isn't it? The day of death is a lot better than the day of his birth. Because on the day of his birth, we're dealing with his good, we're dealing with his physical metzius, and that's something which is finite, that's something which is going to disappear one day he's going to die. But the Yoin Hamoves, that's dealing with his neshama. He's taken off his guf, as it were, the guf is like a garment, and laid that aside. Now you're dealing with the real you. That's a great thing. That's a toy. It's very, very toy. That's akin to that chazal, the chazal say, about the ship, right? The chacham said, like, why are they making so much faster when they saw the ship being launched? The band playing and everybody was happy and waving flags, and then next door in the other wharf another ship was coming in and nobody noticed it. Finally you should make a simcha. The ship was going out, who knows where it's going to happen to it, like what's going to be, what are the problems that it's going to face out on the ocean. So that's not anything to be so happy about. A ship which made it home safely, that's the one that you're supposed to be really happy about, seeing that it's made harbor. Not allowed any of the problems to destroy. So that's the Yoin Hamoves is toiv from the Yoin Hivoldo. No, I mean, how can you say that Moves is so toiv? I mean, we know that people don't want to die. People die, it's very sad. Not a nice thing to die. So what's the Pshat Yoin Hamoves from Yoin Hivoldo? You don't know that there's the Maimer HaChochem, says the Tzoincha, Shaloi Thomas. Anybody not want to die? So he has an eight. He says, "Tzaincha Shaloi Thomas." You don't want to die. Mus at Shaloi Thomas. Then die before you die. First, "Tzaincha Shaloi Thomas." You don't want to die. Mus at Shaloi Thomas. Then die before you die. What does that mean? It means like this. I mean, when a person dies physically, so is that death or not? Is that really death? So that depends how you define him. If he's a person in whom his ruchnistike metzius, his neshama, is preponderant, and the guf is very, very subsidiary, so that's not much of a misa. That's taka like, you know, you take off a suit. That's what the Gemara says. Moses says that the misa of a tzaddik is as easy as like you fish out a fly from a glass of milk. There's no problems, there's no travels. Why? Because the kesher between the neshama and the guf is very, very weak. See, he was Musa Shaloi Thomas. He died long ago. In other words, he effected the separation between his neshama and his guf way back. So by the time he really physically died, it's not a difficult misa at all. It's like a fly in a bottle of milk. Because he already was mainus himself, in the sense that even while he was alive, he effected a degree of partition between his guf and his neshama. Moses says, what's the misa of Roshoyim, right? Misa of Roshoyim is like you have a bunch of wool caught up in a thorn bush. Try dragging that out. That's a very, very problematic business. It's very painful. To schlep and you tear and break. And it's very, very difficult to take out. That's the pshat, because this guy wasn't Musa Shaloi Thomas, right? He lived life to the nth degree. where he thought life was going to live. No, so he has a lot of dying to do. He has a lot of misa to do, because by him there's a very, very strong kesha between his neshama and his guf. So it's a very tough proposition to separate them. So his misa is a big, big misa. So that's what the pasuk could mean, right? Yom hamoves miyom hivaldo. So it depends, how is your being defined? How is your essence defined? What kind of person are you? Are you a person who is defined mitzad his ruchnias? Or are you a person who is defined mitzad his gashmias? Are you a person who is neshama, defines your essence? So then the Yom HaMoves is a very beautiful day. It's a day at which any shaykhus to any limiting misa becomes bottled. And now you're ready for your life of mitzvahs, and that's very good. It's not really sad. It's sad for the people who remain behind. But it's not sad for the person who died. Just forget. This is it. He's done his time. He lays his book aside. That's it. Because his misa was before the misa. Mus Avshaloi Thomas. Tzoyin Avshaloi Thomas. Mus Avshaloi Thomas. The sky's the limit. You have to understand that what you're working towards is a Yom HaMoves which is tied. That's what you're working towards. Once you work towards that, it means that you put your focus, you put your longings, your desires, and your cravings into the kind of life which will lead up to the kind of death where the Yom HaMoves is tied, then you're in good shape. Yom HaMoves Miyom Hivaldo. Want to know how to do that? That's the next process. Toi Velechus Aveis Ova, Velechus Aveis Mishta. There's something we'll talk about.